Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Internet Marketing. To you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing, and today I'm joined by Graham Constantine, Chief Creator at Digital Freelance. Hello, Graham.
Hello, Andy. How are you?
Very, very well on this very sad day, but let's not get political. Graham, tell us a little bit about yourself before we go into the meat and vegetables of this discussion.
Yeah, sure. I run Digital Freelance. We started on the 1st of March 2016, that's this year, and my background is I've done a lot of NLP training. I worked in the corporate world. I made a decision to create my lifestyle business back in 1999.
So you had to think about that, didn't you?
I did. It's a long time ago, and yeah. I've been doing it ever since.
Fantastic. Now, we're going to be talking about surviving, or more like sort of how to market a lifestyle business. Because here in Brighton, we are in Brighton, by the way, everyone, and sunny Brighton, there's a lot of lifestyle businesses in Brighton, aren't there? Let's get a good definition of a lifestyle business.
Yeah, I think a lifestyle, people who start a lifestyle business typically have got fed up with the corporate rat race or working for the man somewhere along the line, and now have a passion or something that they love doing, normally something creative or artistic or service-based, that they want to turn into a business.
Yeah. And they have certain challenges, don't they?
They do indeed.
I'm talking from great experience here, because I myself really am sort of a lifestyle business, I think.
Yeah. I think that you go through like a phase of initial enthusiasm where it's amazing and you realise you're following your dream. You're doing what you love and you're really following your passion. And then reality kicks in that you have the bills to pay.
Yeah.
And so business owners typically go through a few stages. They go through the euphoria stage. Then they go through the panic stage. Oh, no, I haven't got enough money to pay the bills. Mm. And then they start to figure out that once they've sold to their friends and family, that they need to broaden their outlook a little bit. And then they go on and make some mistakes that I'm sure we're going to talk about very shortly.
Absolutely, yes, because I remember when I started, and like a lot of people in Brighton who are doing lifestyle businesses, you very quickly realise that clients in Brighton aren't the way to go. Because everyone else in Brighton has a lifestyle business and can't afford anything.
Yeah, very true. Or you end up trading or bartering things, yeah, which is great as well, but it's not sustainable because you can't barter with HMRC or with your landlord typically.
No, or your mortgage company. Yes, I have tried it, but they didn't want to take the beer bottles. So let's talk about some, you know, from sort of online marketing and sort of social type of aspects, because I know you help a lot of people with that.
Yeah,
let's go over some typical mistakes that people make. I know what you're going to say first, because we talked about this before we pressed record, but the classic one of making a website and then not doing anything with it.
Yes,
I know that's going to be your first one, isn't it?
It is indeed, yeah. I think websites are great, don't get me wrong, they're a wonderful asset to have, but if it's just a shiny object that sits on the web and no one ever visits it, or they do visit it but don't take any action when they get there, or there's loads of beautiful photos on there but it doesn't really tell them what you do, then it's not really going to be an effective business tool. It's going to be more of a vanity type thing.
Yeah.
And I have worked with quite a few business owners who basically build websites that are for themselves rather than for their audience. They take a lot of things for granted, that people who come to the site will share their passion and will know the intricacies of what they do, but unfortunately most people won't, so you have to really educate and explain to them what you do.
Do you think that the design of the website is more important than the content, or do you think that the content is more important? Or do you think they're about the same?
I think it's a combination. I think it also varies depending on what age of person you're trying to serve. So generally older people such as myself, although I don't really see myself as being old, tend to like a lot of more written content. Generally younger people are much more visual, so they like to see a more stunning visual. So it really depends on the age of market, the age of person that you're aiming to sell to, and that's also a key distinction to make in your marketing.
And in your experience, Graham, because I know you've got a lot of clients, are they do they tend to build their own websites? Is there a reluctance to go out and get it done? Sort of, I'll put my finger quotes up there properly. Do a lot of people self-build their websites?
They normally have a friend who's normally called Fred or Peter,
right?
who has done a little bit of web design sometime or other,
yeah,
and is very willing and really wants to do a good job for them. But normally they're doing it in their spare time, and so it starts off well, but then it gradually goes slower and slower, and you can't get changes made.
Yeah.
And it's also, it looks like a hobby website, and that's not really what you need today. It was okay 5 years ago, hobby websites were fine, but now it needs a more professional look and feel, really.
Yeah. And so you're saying effectively that there should be a lot more research done up front to try and work out what your target clients are after. So that's very content related, isn't it, I suppose?
Content is quite important, and also to write the website in a language that a person who's not as skilled as you in your subject area can understand.
I want to actually talk about social, but before I go on to social, I know this is slightly off piste, listeners. It's not so much sort of online and web related, but I have to talk about networking, because me and Graham have got some history with networking. And I know that this is one of the classic mistakes that a lot of sort of lifestyle business people make. Like some, like in my case, it was a very, very nice guy that I knew. He was one of the parents at my kid's school, and he was quite a successful businessman. And he said to me, "Andy, you need to start networking." And I thought, what a fantastic idea. So I became Mr. Network Brighton. And one of the things, one of the jokes I always remember hearing from another networker was, trouble is with networking in Brighton, you always meet the 42 sane networking people.
That's very true.
What just before we talk about the social side of things, what experience have you had with small businesses, lifestyle businesses, and networking?
I've had lots and lots of experience. I went through the similar pattern that you went through of going to every networking event that was going and thinking that just by socialising with people and having a nice chat with them, that somehow that would lead to more business.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it didn't. That was the reality. I remember meeting one of my clients, Chris, who was like stood in this networking event looking really lost and just kind of surveying the room, kind of not really sure what to do. So I kind of took him under my wing and introduced him to some people.
Yeah.
I think one of the skills that you learn in networking is how to have a conversation with another business person about a business-related conversation is what I would call it.
Yeah.
And that translates extremely well into social media.
Well, I was going to say, because you normally come with about 55 cards, don't you?
Yes.
Most of them duplicates from last time. But you have to deduplicate them. Yes. What do you do with those cards in terms of social media?
Well, in terms of, I use a little app called Snap that basically enables you to take a photo of the card.
Yeah.
And import it into your CRM or your database.
So it does optical character recognition and saves you a lot of typing, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I would highly recommend to all startup businesses that they create some way of keeping track of all their contacts online and offline so that they can communicate with them regularly.
Yeah.
Typically using email, but also social media as well.
Yeah. And how does, because we'll come on to, I keep saying we'll come on to, we will, I promise we will come on to social media in a second, but just what should, I mean, you mentioned obviously getting these cards into some sort of database, but what should we be doing with these names, sort of regular contact?
That's a very good question. What we typically do is for our clients is we organize a content plan. So obviously if you have an email address, then you can send an email to your clients. I don't recommend newsletters because they tend to be too long, quite boring, but short, sharp emails, inviting people to read your blog or to watch your video or to listen to your audio like we're doing now. Extremely effective to keep that contact going until the client is ready to buy. And in the old days, the old adage for salespeople was it takes 7 touches to get to yes.
Yes.
But the thinking now is it takes maybe 21 or more, because we're all bombarded with so much information.
This is a problem, isn't it? There's so much noise out there. It's signal-to-noise ratio.
Yes.
So let's come on to social then. Yeah. So we presumably we're on Twitter or on Facebook. We've got a load of names. We've got a growing network.
Yeah.
Let's start off with some classic mistakes people make on social.
Yeah.
Things to avoid.
Yeah. I think one of the key things is mixing information that is too personal with business-related information. So if you're posting a picture of anti-ethyl, that's probably good to do on your personal page.
Yeah.
If you're posting a picture about your latest blog post, then it's probably better to do it on your business page.
Mm.
But try not to mix those two up.
Yeah.
That's a classic mistake. The other mistake is just trying to do everything. And if you try and be on too many social media channels all at once, you will end up probably either posting vigorously for a few weeks and then stopping.
Yeah.
Or repeating the same information on multiple platforms. The context of a platform is really important.
Yeah, I was going to ask, because we've got LinkedIn, we've got Facebook, we've got Twitter. They're probably three of the bigger ones.
Yeah.
There's probably others I've completely forgotten. What are the different characteristics of them? What are they useful for?
I think Facebook is good for engagement and connection and like a social connection with your clients or potential clients.
Mm.
So you can generally, image is very good on Facebook. Video is getting more and more important on Facebook as well. And basically slightly longer content, but not too long.
Yes.
Something that could probably be consumed in a minute or less, maybe 2 minutes tops. Twitter is very, very short and is kind of a bit of a slow burn for most businesses.
Yeah.
And also you need some kind of writing skills to make something interesting in 140 characters.
Without compressing words too much.
and then LinkedIn is more of a business platform. And so yeah. I would probably, the content on LinkedIn would probably be more serious and more business related.
Do you know many people that actually blog on LinkedIn? Because I've got a LinkedIn account and I tend to see that as my online CV.
Yeah.
People say, oh, can you send me a CV? I say, here's my LinkedIn address. Yeah, so it's always up to date. But do you know many people that blog? Because it has got a blog platform, hasn't
it? Yeah, I do.
Do you? Yes. Do you find it useful?
Yeah, yeah. I've got 17 blog posts on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And
They
were all just today. No, they're over the last few months. And the top ones had about 200-odd views. So.
Yeah.
And I have had people contact me to do business with me through LinkedIn.
Mm.
But it's important to really optimize your profile to be really clear on what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's important to have a focused strategy, I suppose.
Yeah, sort of, definitely. Yeah. Strategy is really important. Yeah.
Yeah. And then just, again, coming slightly off the sort of website thing, this does tie into another classic mistakes, which single person businesses person, often do, yes. Or lifestyle business often do, which is trying to do too much at once, isn't it?
Yes.
This is a general thing. You've got some opinions and comments on that.
Yeah. I would, in terms of organizing your time, It's the most important thing is consistency.
Mm.
I talked to a local business the other day. It was around the corner from us. And they were saying, I said to them, oh, ideally you want to be doing two posts a week on Facebook.
Mm.
And he said, oh yeah, we've done two posts. That's right, but for the whole year.
Yeah.
So basically, they're not being consistent.
That's all right if it's only the 2nd of January.
That's right. So we're in the halfway through the year. Yeah. They're a bit behind schedule.
Yeah.
But it's like, I would say just make half an hour or 20 minutes a day and just do something for 20 minutes every day, but do it consistently.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the top tip, really, is to be consistent.
And I know, certainly, again, my own experience, when I was very young in business and I was starting to get more into the website of things, I would go through this thing where I would find someone, a hero that I really liked,
yes,
and start to do some of the things that hero suggested.
Yeah.
And then when I'm halfway through that, I found another hero that's slightly different.
Yeah.
And I start to follow some of the things that they're doing. And I end up with this sort of Frankenstein hero network. do you see a lot of that going on?
Yes. Yeah, I call it shiny object syndrome.
Shiny object syndrome. Yeah. Oh, right. You've got a special name for it, right?
Yeah. So it's like there are many, many strategies around these days, and most of them work if you do them consistently.
Mm.
If you chop and change strategies every week or every 2 weeks or even every month, basically none of them will work as far as I could tell. You've got to be consistent and just follow one strategy until you get results rather than chopping and changing all the time.
So if we could sort of nail this down to, say, three top tips.
Yes.
In your head.
Yes.
In reverse order, with the least useful first, and ending with the most useful. what would you say is the of your three top tips? What should we start with?
I think I would definitely say that being authentic is really, really important, and finding your voice, because it's your authenticity and your voice that will make the difference in the long run. And if you think about it, like, if you were going to the pub, then you probably wouldn't want to become a totally different person just to talk to people in the pub. You would just be naturally be yourself. And that's what I recommend, is be authentic. And if you are, if it is genuinely a lifestyle business and it is your passion, then it's better just to be excited and passionate about it and authentic about it, rather than trying to put on some false veneer for social media.
I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Yeah, go
because
for it.
Talking about authentic, and I know because you have an NLP background, don't you?
I do.
You used to be an NLP. Well, you probably still are, as far as I know. NLP practitioner.
I'm an NLP practitioner still. So, yes.
Listeners, all through this interview, he's been slowly making facial gestures at me. That's going to make me want to, I don't know, buy a cream cake or something as soon as I you think. But is there, this is really putting you on the spot, but is there a sort of clever NLP type thing that you can have in your mind for being authentic? Which kind of is a bit of a counter question, really, isn't it?
I think the thing that I found most useful is to be aware of what's going on in your heart.
Yeah.
And then speak from your heart. It's just a practice of speaking from your heart.
Yeah.
And sometimes when I'm talking, I like touch my heart physically.
Really?
And then, you know, then I get more connected with my authentic self or my true self or my passion or whatever you want to call it.
Okay, let's keep going. What's the second thing?
It
sounds like Desert Island Discs, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What are you trying to escape?
No, I'm good. I'm enjoying it so far. Same about there's no music, but that's good. The second thing, I think, is to decide what makes you unique.
Mm.
And you probably already know what's unique in terms of your passion, but you may not have thought about what makes you unique in terms of what you can do to help other people.
Right.
My perspective is always that when you're doing marketing, your basic aim is to help other people.
Yeah.
And the more you figure out what they want, and then you can define the way that you're unique in the way that you can help other people, that will make a massive difference. And then you can use that in your social media. You can use that on your website. You can use it when you meet people face to face. But make it authentic. Don't make it something that you don't do, but make it something that you do.
Fantastic.
That you enjoy doing.
Yeah. Okay, so be authentic. Yeah. Work out how you can help people. What's the top tip from
Graham
Constantine? The
top tip is from Graham Constantine is to give information freely.
Ah, we're doing now.
Oh, like we're doing now, absolutely. Yeah. And I have found that clients save their best information for when they're actually getting paid. And I find it's often better to give the best information before you start getting paid, because ideas are everywhere.
Mm.
The key to it is being able to implement those ideas.
Yeah.
And so the more information you give freely and give people ideas, eventually they will come to you and say, can you help me implement these ideas?
Yeah.
And if they don't, and they manage to implement by themselves, then that's fantastic. You've helped someone.
Yeah.
And if they need some help, then they come and ask you and you help them. And
yeah.
Everyone's happy.
And what's the most common way of doing that? Would you say blogs or podcasts or videocasts?
I do videos and I do blogs and I also do podcasts now. So, yes, I'm doing all three. And it's important because some people prefer to consume content in the written word, some like video and some prefer audio. So if you can put your audio, put your content out in all channels, then you're serving more people.
Graham Constantine, thank you so much for helping us today or joining us today or having a conversation with us today. Just before we go, how can people find you, communicate with you, connect with you?
Yeah. Well, we have a bricks and mortar business in Kent Town. For those of you who live in Brighton, it's at 71 St James Street. And we have a website, www.digitalfreelance.co.uk.
Fantastic. Thanks, Graham. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. The show notes are in the usual place, sitevisibility.com/IMpodcast. We're in iTunes and Stitcher. If you want to leave a review, that would be great, because good reviews help us to connect with more people. Graham's laughing now. If you want to connect with me sort of personally, I'm Dr. Pod, DOCTORPOD on Twitter and LinkedIn. And we're looking to answer some questions in upcoming episodes. So please email and phone us. We've got a special automated phone line. The email is podcast@sitevisibility.com, and the magic phone line is +44 1273 256 150. Well, that's all from me, Andy, and it's all from Graham.
Thank you, Andy,
and we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.